Okay, the first one is called Untitled. I saw myself in a mirror of things, describing my thoughts and reading them. I wrapped a blanket around me to ward off the chill, the sharp pangs of frost, describing their art on the bedroom windows, moving through crisp moments and the walking through leaves that betrayed the death of their memory, that existed through each story told on the fireside evening, through which we come together to realize how apart we are. The voice of some foreign language eases in. We understand it. We move to describe each translation as it happens. The interchange of experience against birth to us, against the sky of our dreaming. There fell snow soft on the brow. The move to each consideration. To the station, like a train. Like a perpetual movement that taught us to dance before we became still and taught us to dance again. This one is called Iraq 2. Now, I wrote a one called Iraq 1, but I haven't got that yet. I think I finished before. Iraq 2. The sun broke in my window like a thief, searching amongst my dreams for the meanings it wished to steal. I raised my hand to greet it, moved my fingers around it, sensed its pulse, the pulse that splintered into birdsong and began the moment of mourning. I moved slowly, examining the shreds of ideas that scattered themselves across the floor, the reflected sun shimmering through their interaction with the thoughts that slowly emerged out of the dust, that flickered like butterflies against the window, small wings that fluttered through the interface of beginning. I reached for the history book that lay beside me on the table, moving through its pages, defining its birth and its forgetting, the distant king that moved through his kingdom, the searching faces seeking a meaning through the giving birth to some form of revolution that cascaded through society. Each question, the form of ethics, the silent bleeding of Baghdad, one hears it on the radio, the insistent voices seeking attention, the moving of children before the cameras, the existence that came through seeking nothing that bears a meaning, that formed a cradle of its nihilism and bred it, wrapping that nihilism around itself like some form of explanation. The soldier holds his gun like a baby, the crying of children at night, the echoes of a bleeding that silently tiptoes through our television screen. The sun stole in like a thief to give birth to its own crying. This is another one about Iraq. It's called Liberty. The sun, glinting on the barrel of the gun as we move silently, footsteps moving through their own graffiti as we exist in the noise, racketness, and silence imposed. The young man, crouching in some unnatural position in the hope that Al Qaeda might manifest in his sweat and fear. The faces of children fluttering in the breeze as they search for a parent. The terrorist who used to steal meat and cheese, who used to sell meat and cheese at some market, decimated by some disgrace that gets handed down like inheritance. Moments within us, the ghosts of dictators doing their own dance, the corridors where we paint our halls of fame like mirages in the desert, the flickering of the sun on the gun, the nervous soldier and the man-made sweat El Qaeda, to justify another justification, the movements of the boy as he watches the soldiers move in slow motion to their shimmer light that forms off the desert, some liquid mercury that moves within like bleeding, like a crying of forgetting that echoes through the images of Baghdad that play with our hearts on television screens, to be or not to be. And this is the last one, the short one. It's called Thought. We begin in our imagination. The thought of us lying in some crate in a dream. The tiny motion of hands against the air that we try to catch and play with. The imaginations that trace through the shadows cast upon the wall of our being, moving through their silence. A symphony through our delicate movements, and those to the sky that we try and reach, climbing through some forest tracks where the birds make their motions, their chirruping limbs with the movements through which we float in the Never Never and walk on the moon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Mel will be actually reading here in 2 weeks with Shannon Clarence. Next up to the microphone, could we welcome Mary O'Connell.
An orange wanted to go for a walk. It just dropped out of its bag and rolled across the kitchen floor. I'd be aware of rustling coming from papers lying on a nearby chair. That was the orange trying to get out. But too absorbed in reading, I failed to raise my head, thinking that the nightlight had guttered to its end. When finally I looked up, there in the stillness, plop, out it popped, like a delivered egg. A big, bold burst of sunshine, bouncing down the cushions and the tiles, almost as if it had a soul. It came to rest gently by my chair, waiting to be picked up. I felt strangely honored by this visit. Thank
you. Thank you, Mary. And next up to the microphone, could we have Mr. John Ryan.
Human, we will always divide. Long after colours like green and orange subside. Today, we bear the recall of the seismic upheaval on sacraments and rituals that was medieval. Next came land and ports and titles, and the deeds of transport, cargoes of people. So race and language came to be the ground for spite, and groups susceptible might just be sacrificed, so others might expand and settle. And that's not to belittle the next conflict that destroyed habitation. Science puts ever more ways to encourage mortality. Economics came next, and government conduct. Plenty opportunity for death. Plenty scars to avenge. And when the planet is marked, so will lead to more violent crises when the last liter of oil is consumed and the last trees felled. We will fight for sunlight, cover and water unless victory is cut from the dictionary. And so after that, hopefully this will be found to be more optimistic. It's another short one, so it's formed sort of a dualism, I suppose, and called Recovery Communist. Where killing thunders and Clyde's flesh and thunder, always a few walk, proud to be unarmed, civic concerned, no need for the rules of side taking to be observed or recognized. Once their words were lost in obscure scrolls, another time, telegraph wires were cut, and they just trying to communicate to a world of sisters and brothers. But more meek, so that they follow the military bands like sheep, here's to the leader. And now, On the internet, the walkers once again report the current. Perhaps we have time to consider, forewarned and aware of previous mistakes and mishaps, and so perhaps the chance for renaissance. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Next up, we have my namesake in the house. Don't know how we're related yet, but we'll figure it out. Maureen Casey.
Infatuated, he made her home and fitted her on a pattern of daisy chains, made to hold her for a salary of handling pots and pans, with misread on the threshold, to return to Nicholas. Wounded, he stalked him from a hunting ground, but he's trodden on an airy element, a universal cornerstone, and a silent, primal screaming called a shiver down the spine of decalcifying his voice.
Thank you. And next up, we welcome Patricia Walsh.
Okay. Is that all right? Powerful showers. Patricia was a sense I was not. Angry descended off. I spit over the eye, a late departure, all right still, too soon to buy. Put tears to switch me quickly. Rosa moved by me again. No, I'm not her ice cream, I don't believe. Nor is the bird my aching wrist from blue. Coincidence is special. The task gets intense. No one from parents won't more slow anymore, so I'll speak with this. All I want to see is idols, wholly at play, walking away, as I walk on a course to pass them. Of course it is wrong. Of course you will fail. There's a price to pay for what you haven't done. Saying that, pushing an envelope, the vehicle snaps off a very blue glove pointing your face. Thank you. Yes, I'm crushed over. Your crushed over dress lies in the net on the floor, allowing all the semi precious colours. As distant from me as you pay your dues and get out. Rack my coal, so will the cold side. At least in the museum, a rope of that fabric is all it keeps me from your jewelry. Now, with dangling a rope of that colour would secure plenty of justice for what I could not possibly have done. For me, at least, you didn't dangle, chance and circumstance, in one solid motion of your finger. Led by a red velvet rope, I say I do. Yes, you do, like I enjoy you reading more me than I've done yet. The colour clears from your face, like every drawing, when I suggest seeing a new day together. The next goes on the canopy of the dawn, and is new, taking its moments in drop. We collect your things, all of them on your back, and slip your dress back on from City Hall. Drink healthy, never mind, because I've unlocked the code of an access that is drawing around the diary, and I'll give you one sip of velvet to do it again.
Next up to the microphone, I could be calling Jamie. Jamie? Based on a dream.
walking in green hills, rolling, gently undulating, grow quickly, surprising, revolving green wheels with tugs, ceasing gauge teeth like destiny's meeting, uncomprehending and caught by innocent flap of clothing, apprehended by teeth opposing cycles, pinned down to the round ground by a shoulder blade. What a turn of events. Coming towards me, slow but sure, a black man wearing shades, driving a steamroller. The situation has implications wide and flat. I panic, swiveling to left and right. The engine's revolving drum looms down like a final curtain or shutter falling. Then silence, peaceful black, with nothing to put a finger on.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. And could we call up to the mic next, Sinead Ryan?
I was in Edinburgh recently and they had an Andy Warhol exhibit And the way they set it up made me kind of appreciate him in a way that I didn't think I could. I thought it was just some two times, you know. But apparently no. And I was particularly interested in the Marilyn Monroe thing that they have up on the wall. Marilyn Monroe. Obliterated by sharp contrast, that one, overexposed, even the trademark beauty mark has faded away, like the side of her head quietly becoming a white canvas, turned away from death, repeat distortion, disappearances. While brash pink, she pouts to the left, an electric hair, vibrant, she wants you, you want it, fresh and youthful, forever colorful.
Thank you, Jen. The program of Kavanagh is the annual Patrick Kavanagh Evening in Dublin at the Palace Bar.
Yeah,
you're truly as well. I'll be on the record. On Saturday the 8th of September up in Dublin, so it's Kavanagh Evening. Next up, can we please welcome to Billy Ramsall. Thank you.
I was just a bit of a first poem. I suppose it's a love poem. It's the moment my daughter Stephanie was born. It's called Aldebaran Appointment. This is for Steph. When you hit the bullseye, Asgard checked her watch and smiled as she listened to your perinatal soliloquy. The delivery room announcing just another arrival to the working audience. But I swear, my eyes corner, witness loose blow kit to the blind usurpers, both gods and men awakened. I viewed you first from a spaceship of relief and loved you instantly. Thanks. Second poem is called Sanctity. When I am older, my love, and Zuria is sleeping or asleep, I will go to her and ease her tiring larynx. My stang of love I will take and clank each hank in a house Brocky failed to include. A set of arms from each one I will invite, and let it hold me and seduce a pair of loving lips to steal a moment or two. I will waltz from medieval streets with Ptolemy, and at the temple I will listen to this Sunday miscellany. I will be a vela for a day, drink with Victoria, and sway my youthful arms at Alavendiana. And when the pick is whispering to be harvested, I will bend all day and sleep in the safety of the orca. Thanks. I was asked to read this one again tonight, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, when John Liddy read here. I came in and Pastor Calvin was here, and I didn't know he had a stroke. So I came in and he was sitting on a wheelchair. And he lost the use of his voice on the right hand side of his body. And when I got home that night, I wrote this poem to Patrick Calvin. I called it Old Bear. I anticipated a gaggle of local poets. And there he was, notably perched in the wheelchair, adjacent to a blotter soaked with love. Did I see him stroke the underbelly of his unborn pony using his frozen oxter, a chamfer of his observations nursing its way to blank denim? Did I hear his didactic tongue clatter away, sending memos to his waiting Ayurvedic tip? Did I see Sully whisper verses of encouragement in his good ear? Did I reach out and touch the stole that envelopes you both in unisexual applause? Did I see you search for another half crown? I bet I did. Thank you. This poem, if we had all the lists in Ross's poem, they would marry pretty well with this poem. So this is for PC, this is for Paul Casey. This is for every father in the room, every son in the room, and for everybody who hears the poem. It's called Stones in Their Shoes. Is there a house where fathers sit with the prince of the apocalypse in silent lines of wishes? young fathers, old fathers, grandfathers, fathers sitting on fathers' feet, kept warm by their fathers, fathers who used to abuse, abused fathers, sober fathers, now sober fathers, fathers who couldn't say it, fathers who couldn't hear it, fathers who wanted to hear it, generous fathers, miserable bastards, fathers who forgive, fathers who wanted to be forgiven, fathers who needed to be loved, loved fathers, fathers who couldn't love, fathers who could, fathers who wanted to be loved, expressive fathers, silent fathers, fathers who shared, greedy bastards, fathers who never did, forgiving fathers, forgiven fathers who took their feet from their fathers and learned the gift of acceptance. Fathers who needed to be forgiven, fathers who needed to forgive, fathers who wanted to repay, fathers who wanted to be repaid, romantic fathers, horny bastards, healed fathers, fathers who wanted to hear sorry, sorry fathers, fathers who used to shout, fathers who were shouted at, noisy fathers, silent fathers, generous fathers, mean bastards, punished fathers, fathers who punished, fathers who acknowledged fathers, inflicted fathers, fathers who inflicted, dishonest fathers, hard-working fathers, lazy bastards, funny fathers, grumpy fathers, fathers who hurt, and hurt fathers who listened here, perhaps for the first time, and learned the gift of understanding. Blaming fathers, blamed fathers, accusing fathers, fathers accused, hugging fathers, unhugged fathers, placid fathers, narcissistic bastards, fathers who were always there, absent fathers, fathers who had favorites, fathers who were, fathers who didn't, and fathers who weren't. Charitable fathers, stingy bastards, isolated fathers, fathers who were included, fathers who ignored fathers, affectionate fathers, fathers who craved affection, fathers who wanted to share, fathers who couldn't hear, fathers who couldn't listen, timid fathers, cruel bastards, fathers who were distant, close fathers who accepted and understood and learned the gift of forgiveness, fathers who simply couldn't, fathers who could, fathers who eyeballed, fathers who never looked, and fathers who never saw, remorseful fathers, heartless bastards, fathers who had no fathers, fathers who kissed and unkissed fathers, fathers who were involved, fathers who were never there, isolated fathers, incapable fathers, tidy fathers, messy bastards, sad fathers, happy fathers ready to welcome their sons, accepting fathers who now understood and accept themselves, forgiving fathers who forgive themselves and embrace love, fathers who love themselves, fathers who need to go and rest in peace and let their sons rest peacefully. Is every house a son? Thank you. I'll read one more.
the probably a cost form. It's about the moment my extremely busy father died. He who would have been anywhere in any country at any given moment and stuck in the middle of everything. And it's called now. Or rather in the cockpit it's called now. When the pump retires, you are still busy as ever, igniting a thousand conversations, immediate, adjacent, and remote. Arrangements busied the arrangers, families wept and made commitments. You never get ignited a million sentences, opinions adjusted themselves. Typist smiles, yours was going to be an easy one. Wardrobes and drawers were being emptied. Black and white photographs were being visited frequently. Forgiveness was finding a home. Clubs began the cancellations and dug in to the anticipated pros. Your silent whistle stopped 100 games. The sandwich makers and the cream cake bakers were busy and important. Dark suits were being cleaned and borrowed. White shirts were being bought and loaned. Unfashionable ties were being dusted down. Children were visiting a new topic. A respectful hand was etching the first letter. The first stab was being turned. Jesus, you must have been delighted. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks, Jane. I just didn't know I had that many fathers, by the way. And I'm not a father, in case any of you are wondering. But my father's coming out here in 2 weeks, and that's actually why. He was born in Corpus. Thank you, Jane. Next up to the microphone, Mr. Gavin Ryan.
I actually have two poems, so we don't have business. This poem is called Ode to 15 Hairy Bollocks, being not Ireland, they would be all Ireland. This is for all the hairy people here. From above. Six mad bunches in foreign lingerie, fingering themselves, tongues awry, probing. Trackers, wellies, crotchless panties, and the eternal milking machine. A flat cap over a bald virile gown. Six betwixt boots and brim. Salad acres in pink satin, black lace, milk white slab. On the vibrating machinery, alive in nature, incandescent. Nothing like a bit of positivity in the evening. Wigner and friend, I shouldn't never marry them. I should have opened the box first, just to check. Herself for the cat. Sure, you're pretty and postmodern. We all know how sexy that is these days, but I'm bored. I guess you're in there, sitting on your chair, smoking your pipe, or dead in the corner, or more than likely both. The novelty is worn off, but you can resist the quantum love song. When you look at me, I exist. And if you look at me, I'll die. Very romantic, but it never gets lonesome. I'm moving in with Wigner. Nothing personal. I love you. I don't love you. Every morning I play a trick on myself, saying, now why did I do this? I should have done the other. Lick the wood of the park bench, feel the rain against your tongue, for your wisdom and
politics. the McNamara Slam, could we please welcome up Mr. Edward O'Dwyer.
Thank you.